sing his name. Oh, Jesus, holy and anointed one, Jesus. Sing it again. Jesus, oh, Jesus. He's the risen.
He is the risen and exalted one. Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's like water to my soul. Your word is feet. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Come on, sing Jesus again.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. We lift you up, Lord.
Jesus, he is the risen and exalted one. Jesus, your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit's
it out. Hallelujah.
To trust him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I prove him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, I love you.
the name of Jesus.
Jesus, holy and anointed one. Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, give Jesus glory. Give Jesus praise. Hallelujah. There is no other name given under heaven among men by which we must be saved. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Lord. Isn't it good to be in the presence of God with His people this morning? Thank you for being here. Let's continue to worship the Lord in our giving as our ushers come at this time. Let's continue to worship the Lord. This is not an interruption to the worship service. It is certainly a continuation. We are a blessed people with the opportunity to honor the Lord and to return to the Lord what belongs to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that privilege to honor the Lord. I want to encourage you to do the same. He will bless you. He will pour out His provision in your life. The Bible says He will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord and pray. Heavenly Father, we just worship You with the tithe. We worship You with the offering. We just thank You for Your blessings and Your word that is true. I've tried it over and over and over again, God, and I know it to be absolute truth that I can base my life on. And I just give You praise and I give You glory for blessing Your people, pouring out Your Spirit, meeting every need in every life, every home, every family, as we honor You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Worship the Lord as you give. Give Jesus praise in the house. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you please turn in your Bibles with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. While you're doing that, I want to welcome those who are joining us online today. What a privilege and honor it is to have you connect with us here at the Biltmore Church of God. We just pray God's blessings upon you and continue to pray for us as we seek to do the will of God and we seek to reach lost people for Jesus and to disciple them. How many know that it's about, you know, Jesus is in the soul winning business, and that's what we need to be about in these last days. How many know Jesus is still saving people? He's still delivering. He's still setting free. He's still sanctifying and filling with His Holy Spirit. He's still empowering us to do His work in these last days. Amen. James chapter 4, beginning with verse number 1. Actually, verse number 4. Where do wars and fights come from among you? It is verse 1, I'm sorry. Verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? Verse 6, but He gives more grace. Therefore He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7 says, therefore submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. I want you to say that verse out loud with me. Verse number 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Would you stretch your hand toward me today and let's pray together. Father, I thank You for the power of Your Word. Your Word, Lord, is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so, Lord, we're just asking that the Word of God would go forth. And I pray that it would convict, that it would challenge, and that it would heal, and that it would set free, and it would bring encouragement. Lord, Your Word knows exactly what we need today. Holy Spirit, we ask You to come and anoint me to speak Your Word. Anoint Your people to hear it. And may it fall on good ground and produce a harvest that would last in our lives. Lord, we don't want the enemy to come and steal away the Word, the seed of the Word. And so I just pray, Lord, that we would that the Word would grow. It would be planted and would germinate and grow and produce a harvest in the name of the Lord Jesus. Lord, I want to be changed today. I pray that Your people want to be changed. And we're just asking for Your Spirit to come and anoint the ministry of the Word because we're absolutely nothing without the anointing. So would you just ask the Lord with me right now, Lord Jesus, send Your anointing. Send Your anointing. Send Your presence and power. Help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of who You are. Help us to grow in the spiritual disciplines, Lord, because that is our lifeline. That is our sustenance. That is our power each and every day. So, Lord, we need that in our lives. Thank You, Holy Spirit, for inspiring us, challenging us, and changing us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray these things. And everybody said, amen, amen. God bless you. Good-looking congregation today. I'm so glad you're here in the house of the Lord. I want to ask you a question to begin this morning. How close are you to God? How close are you to God? I'm going to answer it for you. You're as close to God as you want to be. I said, you're as close to God as you want to be. God is as willing to get as close to you as you are willing to get as close to Him. The first way to go one step higher for God is to get one step closer to God. Because when you take a step closer to God, You actually get two steps closer to God, because the Bible says when you draw near to God, He draws near to you. So when you take that step toward Him, He's taking a step toward your direction as well. Amen? Now, where does that desire come from to go toward God? Well, how many of you know that the Holy Spirit puts that desire in us? We couldn't love Him unless, you know, He first loved us. We couldn't pursue Him unless He first pursued us. But once He pursues us, and once He begins to talk to us and draw us to Him, you and I have an opportunity. We have a responsibility at that point to make a choice. Am I going to draw to Him? Because the Bible says, if I will draw near to Him, He will draw near to me. See, the Bible says in Jeremiah 29 and 13, and you will seek me and you will find me when you have searched for me with all your heart. Why do I have to initiate the process, you say? Why do I have to draw near to Him before He will draw near to me? I've shared this story a couple years ago, but I think it's a great one to insert right here. It reminds me of the farmer and his wife who were driving down the road in the pickup truck. And the farmer was sitting behind the wheel in silence. His wife was sitting over against the door as far on the other side as she possibly could. And after several miles, she said, "You know, when we were first married, we didn't sit this far apart." Her husband simply replied, "I ain't the one that moved." How many of you know that God is not the one that's moved? If you don't feel close to God, I'm telling you, He is eager to be in relationship with you. He is eager to have relationship with you and I today. Hallelujah. He said, if you'll draw near to me, I will draw near to you. And He puts that desire in us. And if you sense that desire today, I want to be closer to God. We're talking about a closer walk with the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you want to be closer to Him, why don't you just take a step toward Him? Well, I'm not worthy to go toward God. I've got too many things I'm ashamed of in my life. And I've got a past I've got to deal with. I'm here to tell you here this morning, every single one of us have got a past that we have to deal with, but I'm so thankful that He's not punished us according to our sins, not dealt with us according to our iniquities. And as high as the east and as high as the heavens are above the earth, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed those sins from us, I'm here to tell you today, God is a God of restoration. He's a God that puts us back on the right path. He's a God that gives us a new beginning. He's a God that gives us a clean slate. I feel the Spirit of the Lord moving in this house this morning. I'm here to tell somebody, stop wallowing in that shame and that misery and take a step toward God, because His arms are wide open towards you. He wants to bring healing and restoration and use you to heal others in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the presence of God. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. How many of you are glad that the Lord has saved you? That the Lord has come into your life and set you free. I'm so glad this morning. I just feel the Spirit of preaching coming on me this morning. And I'm so glad that I'm no longer in bondage. I'm no longer in the clutches of the enemy's control. Oh yeah, I've got to deal with the sin nature just like you do. But I'm so thankful that it no longer has dominion and control over me. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm free in Jesus' name. Thank God I'm free. You ought to give Him a shout of praise this morning. If you know you're free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been in this series on first things first. How many know that God deserves to be first? We've talked about stewardship. He should be first in our tithing and giving. Amen. He should be first in service in our giving of ourselves in ministry. He should be first in salvation of souls. We should be putting the Great Commission at the top of our list. All of these things are important. First things first, because that's the very last thing that Jesus left with us, and it was for a reason. He wanted that to be the first thing on our agenda as a church. and I'm talking about the church at large, the Biltmore Church of God and every other church on the face of this planet. He's called you and I to be soul winners. He's called every church to be involved in the Great Commission. It's not just about what's going on right here. It's about having a get outside of these four walls mentality and share Jesus with people who are lost and disciple them and bring them into the kingdom of God. That's what we've been talking about. But today, I want to talk about the spiritual disciplines. Stewardship, service, souls, and spiritual disciplines. You say, why wait to the end to deal with spiritual disciplines? Because they are the cement that holds everything else together. If we are spending time with the Lord and putting Him first in the spiritual disciplines of Bible reading and prayer and fasting and journaling, whatever it is that you do to draw, listening to praise and worship music. There's all kinds of ways that we can keep our hearts in tune with the Lord. If we are doing those things, then we will put Him first in our finances. We will put Him first in our time. We'll put winning souls for Jesus Christ as a priority in our lives, because you can't read the Word and just skip over the parts that you don't like. Somebody help me preach here this morning. And when it says go into all the world, that's not just for the preacher to do. That's for you and I to do. It's not just for the person sitting beside me to pay their tithes. I'm supposed to pay my tithes. Why? Because God wants to bless me. He wants to pour out favor and blessing and provision on my life. I mean, He doesn't just want somebody else involved in ministry. He wants me involved in ministry, because there's a ministry that God has called you to. He's not called the person beside you to. He's called you to it. And when you're practicing the spiritual disciplines, you keep your heart where it needs to be, and you keep your focus where it needs to be, and your passion is where it needs to be, and you just got to share Jesus with somebody, because you experienced Him in your devotions this morning, and you've got to tell somebody what you've experienced. Anybody hearing me today? I'm talking about the foundation. It all starts and continues through the practice of those disciplines. In order to have a closer walk with the Lord, first of all, you got to take time for this walk. You got to take time for it, right? Look at the text again. Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. This is not something that's done just once in our lives. This is something we're to do every day, to make it a regular practice and discipline. Don't assume that just because you belong to a Bible-believing church that you're automatically near to God. It is possible to be diligent in your religion and yet distant in your relationship. There's a lot of people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They go through the form and they go through the routine, but the power of God is missing in their lives because they're not connecting with the Lord on a daily basis. I'm here to tell you that God wants to be in relationship with you every day, not just on Sunday or Wednesday or a few days. He wants to walk with you and be with you wherever you are and whatever you're doing. It's called relationship. Just talking with Him, just worshiping Him, just listening to Him, being in relationship. I'm so glad we have a God that wants to be in relationship with us. Hallelujah. But you got to take time for that walk. We ought to consciously and conscientiously and constantly be drawing near to God. Because if we're not, there is that tendency of the human heart. Listen to me. The heart is prone to wander. Can you echo that statement this morning? Do you believe that? In my own personal experience, my heart is prone to wander, so I've got to be very intentional to keep my eyes focused upon the Lord and to seek Him with all of my heart, because my heart's prone to wander. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17 and 9 that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I mean, it's prone to veer from God. And you've got to bring your heart, you've got to bring your life, you've got to offer your body as a living sacrifice to the Lord on a regular basis, because that heart is prone to wander and be deceived. That's why we need one another so much, to attack that deception and keep us in the love of God, and keep us looking to the Lord, and keep us from falling into any kind of false doctrine or teaching. We need the body of Christ. We've got to take time. We've got to take time every day for the Lord. You know, many Christians are like the little boy I heard about who returned home from school one day from his first day of kindergarten. His mother said, "Son, how did you like school today?" The little boy thought for a moment and said, "It was fine, but it's not something you want to do every day." Well, how many of you know this is something that we want to do every day? This is something that we need to do every day. Because I don't know about you, if I go a day without reading my scripture, I can feel it in my life. Amen. If I go a day without seeking the Lord, I can sense it in my life. I don't want to do that, my friends. I don't want you to do that. We need to keep on. Matthew 7:7 says we need to ask and keep on asking. We need to seek and keep on seeking. We need to knock and keep on knocking. The writer of Hebrews says it this way in chapter 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by Him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. David said it like this in Psalm 34. He said, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and His praise shall continually be in my mouth." I mean, Paul said it like this. He said, "I die daily." He said, "I've got to get my flesh under subjection to the Spirit, because I know if I don't, the old man will try to rise back up." But how many of you know if you're led by the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, you keep the old man at bay, you keep him crucified, and you walk in the Spirit and the joy and the peace of the Lord in your life. Hallelujah. I want to warn you, there is nothing that the devil hates more than to see you make time for a quiet time with God. How many of you know that he's fighting hard against that? Because he knows what it will bring in your life. That's why we must do what our text tells us today. Submit ourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us. How many of you know if you'll submit to God first and foremost, you've got power in Jesus' name to resist the enemy, and he has to flee. Amen? He has to flee. He has no choice but to flee. I once read a motto in the form of a letter. I wanted to share this with you. It says, "Dear Christian, when you're faced with a busy day, save precious time by skipping your devotions. Sincerely, Satan." But how many of you know that Satan is a liar? He's the father of lies and a thief. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." So if he's come to give us life, then why don't we spend time with him so that we can have that life and glean from that life and operate from that life? That's where life is, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever you've got to do to get yourself into the presence of God, I'm telling you, that's where life is. That's where peace and joy is. That's where direction for your life comes from, in the presence of God. Some of you with good intentions may say, after this message, "I'm going to begin spending an hour with God every day." I want to encourage you not to do that, because if you have not been spending time with God, it's going to be hard for you to keep that up. Why don't you start with 15 minutes a day? Why don't you start there? Open up your Bible, read some scripture, and we'll talk more about that in a few moments. Get a notebook out and write some impressions that God is saying to you right there. Write a scripture down. "This is the one I'm going to memorize today. I'm going to walk in this word. I'm going to walk in the Spirit." Start somewhere. Even if it's 5 minutes a day, start somewhere. Every single one of us, we have a responsibility to cultivate a relationship with the Lord. A relationship. So take time for the walk, first of all. Number two, take tools to the walk. I was just referencing that. A soldier never goes to war without weapons. The Christian should never go to quiet time without some tools. How many know this is the most basic, powerful, fundamental, life-giving tool you can bring to your devotional time? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I still believe that this is the unadulterated, infallible, inerrant, oh, I feel the Spirit, Word of God. You believe it? Hallelujah. There's been many people try to explain away. They'll try to go to certain passages and try to explain away. This didn't really happen that way, and it didn't happen that way. I'm here to tell you in Jesus' name, I'm going to believe some of it. I'm going to believe all of it, every single bit of it. From Genesis to the book of Revelation, I believe the Word of God. Hallelujah. If you believe that this morning, give Him praise and give Him glory. It's the Word of God. I encourage you to read it. And as you read it, write it. What I mean by that is keep a notebook and keep it handy. Somebody gave me a little journal at the end of last year, and I've started using that as a practice. And I'm going to do that throughout this year. As I read the scripture, if something stands out to me, I'm going to write an impression. What is the Lord saying to me today through this passage? It could just be one scripture. Write it down. I don't know about you, but I want to memorize more scripture. I want to have more scripture in the memory tank so that when the enemy comes or when trials come, I can pull that from the memory tank. How many of you know if this Bible were to be taken away from you, how many of you could survive? I want to tell you this morning, we need to put the Word of God to memory. Maybe you can't memorize it verbatim. Some people have a problem with that, but how many of you know if you'll just get that Word inside of you, even if it's not verbatim, word for word, those truths will carry you. They will, I'm telling you, the truth of those words will give you the strength to get through what you're facing and the difficulty that you're in. Greater is the one who is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take some time to write down some thoughts. Write down some scripture. And then you can take that scripture into prayer. Don't tell me you don't have anything to pray about. You've got 66 books to pray about. Pray the Word. Incorporate the Word into your everyday life and the situations that you find yourself in your life. Pray the Word in relation to what you're facing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you want to draw near to God, you've got to take one step higher and read this book. Because in reading this book, you find solutions for your problems, healing for your hurts, strength for your weakness, faith for your doubt, comfort for your sorrow, and direction for tomorrow. It's all in here. No matter what you need, you'll find it in this book. I like what the Lord told Joshua as he was taking the leadership reins from Moses. He said, only be strong and very courageous in Joshua 1:7, that you may observe to do according to all which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. He said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, being careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You want to be prosperous? You want to have good success? I want to tell you where it comes from. It comes from meditating upon the truths, upon the Word of the living God, getting that Word inside of you. That's where prosperity comes from. That's where success comes from. It comes from the Word of the living God. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Life is in the Word. Just as food is good for you physically, this book is great for you spiritually. We need this food to sustain us. It's not just knowing about the Word, it's about embracing it for ourselves. What did David say? I will hide your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. By the way, if you don't have a desire in your life to not sin, you need a spiritual checkup. I felt a little bit of resistance on that, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say it again. If you don't have a desire in your life to not sin, you need a spiritual checkup. Because the Bible says in 1 John, I write these things to you little children that you may not sin. Have we forgotten that? That God does not want us to live in sin. He wants us to live in freedom from sin. That's why he died on the cross, to set us free from sin, not just so that we could say a prayer and say that we're going to heaven, but so that we can walk in holiness and walk in the Spirit and walk in the power of God and not be controlled by the sin nature anymore. We've been set free from it, church. And if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. So don't sweep it under the rug and act like it doesn't exist. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Be quick to repent. Be quick to ask for forgiveness and receive that restoration in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need the Word of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Think about those four things for a moment. It's profitable for doctrine. This book will tell us what is right. It is profitable for reproof. It will tell us what is not right. Anybody still want to know what's right and wrong? Then read the book. There's a lot of people today don't care what right and wrong is anymore. And I'm fearful that some of those sit on church pews. But let that not be you. Don't let that be the case in your life. I still care what is right and what is wrong. The Bible is profitable for correction. In other words, it will tell you how to get right. Anybody want to get right with the Lord? The Bible is profitable for instruction. It will tell you how to stay right. Glory to God. It will tell you what is right. It will tell you what's not right. It'll tell you how to get right, and it'll tell you how to stay right. I don't know about you. That's enough for me to want to get in the Bible and stay in the Word of God. So you got to take time for the walk, number one. Number two, you've got to take some tools to the walk, namely the Word of God, a journal. Write down some thoughts. If you want to use a computer to do that, that's fine. There's no right or wrong way to do that. Whatever you want to do. Whatever works for you. But thirdly, you got to take some talk to the walk. And I've been alluding to it already. I was interested to find the first time the phrase draw near to God is used in the Bible is in 1 Samuel chapter 14. King Saul was talking to Pastor Samuel, the priest, about a certain course of action that he ought to take. And here's what we read in verses 36 and 37. Then the priest said, let us draw near to God here. So Saul asked counsel of God. This is before he let his heart wander and started doing some horrible things. How many of you know if you can be right with the Lord, but if you let your heart wander, you'll start doing things you never thought you would do, and you'll be in places you never thought you would go to. You'll be in situations you never thought you'd be entangled in when you start slipping in your devotional life. This is important, church. This is about being who we say we are and being who we need to be and gleaning what we need to from the Lord. And him gleaning from us what he needs. How many of you know the Lord wants fellowship? He created us to be in fellowship with him. Drawing near to God involves talking to God. There is so much we can say about prayer. You've heard me teach about prayer. You heard me talk about prayer if you've been here for any length of time. You've heard me talk about fasting and praying, how important those things are. We're concluding our 21 days of fasting and praying here at the church, but I don't want you to stop utilizing prayer and fasting together as a regular discipline in your life. I submit to you that we need to be people that fast on a regular basis. What do you mean by that? I say at least once a week we ought to set aside a meal where we keep ourselves spiritually in tune and sharp before the Lord. How many would receive that as a word from God? That the Holy Spirit is, why do you say that? Because Matthew 6 says, when you fast, when you give, and when you pray, that tells me that Jesus was expecting his people to do these things. Not just one time a year, but on a regular basis. When you fast, when you pray, and when you give. So if I understand that correctly, he's saying this is expected of you if you're going to walk in fellowship with me. So much I could say about prayer, but Jesus said in Luke 18, I would that men would always pray and not lose heart. He begins to tell this parable with the widow and the unjust judge. I'm not going to go into all that this morning, but all I know is he's saying continual prayer will keep you from losing heart. Men ought to always pray that they do not lose heart. Continual prayer will keep you from wallowing in discouragement. It will keep you from basking in depression. Those are real things that we face, even among the children of God. Those are things we have to battle. But how many of you know that, glory to God, prayer and the Word, fasting and prayer and the Word will keep you from wallowing in that. There is a grace that can bring you out of that darkness. There's a power that can lift you up when you are down, glory to God. He will lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to stay and put a new song in your mouth, even a praise unto your God. He'll give you hope. He said, call upon me and I will answer you. Show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Hallelujah. Pray. Take time for prayer. You've heard me talk about finding that quiet place. Getting in that place where you can shut the door behind you. Hallelujah. Have a place of prayer, but also just talking to the Lord throughout the day. Praying without ceasing. Having a conversation with the Lord. How many of you know that you don't have to, if you try to get all sanctimonious and try to get all eloquent in your speech, how many know that God can see right through that? And just be real. Just talk to the Lord just like you talk to your friend, like you talk to somebody you know, like you talk to your, well, maybe you don't want to talk to them like you talk to your spouse. I don't know. It depends on how you talk to your spouse. If you're talking nice to your spouse, no. But just be real. Be authentic. That's what I'm talking about. Just get real with God. Talk to him. I don't know what to say. Well, what do you say to your friends? What do you say? You young people, you're online. You're always, you know, talking to somebody through the internet and through Xbox. You're talking. You're just talking. Normal talk, right? Why don't we just talk to the Lord? Tell him what's going on in your life. Be authentic and be real. David said it like this, Psalm 27, he said, wait upon the Lord, because sometimes we pray and we don't hear answers right away, or the answers that we're looking for. How many know that God always answers prayer? He always answers prayer. He just don't always answer the way you want him to. It might be yes, it might be no, it might be wait, it might be late, I'm going to grant this later, but now's not the time. And if he says no, he's got a reason for it. He's got something better in store for you. You've got to rest in this assurance that God has your best interest at heart. God is for you and not against you. Would you put your hand on your chest for a moment and say, God is for me and not against me. Say it one more time. God is for me and not against me. He wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to be successful. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to walk in his Spirit. Yes, there's going to be heartaches. There are going to be times you don't, what in the world is going on in my life where you just don't understand. But I'm here to tell you this morning that God is for you. He is not against you. And we're more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Here's the last thing. I'm trying to hurry. You take time for the walk, tools to the walk, talk to the walk. But lastly, you take treasure from the walk. Take some treasure. What do you mean by that, preacher? There's an incredible blessing that comes to both you and to God when you take that quiet time with Him. Three things will happen. First and foremost, this is why we were created. Are you ready? You ever ask yourself, why do I exist? Why did God create me? You were created to glorify God. That's the easiest, simplest way to say it, to glorify God. Psalm 50 and 23 says, whoever offers praise glorifies me. We exist to glorify God. Hallelujah. But what else can I glean from this walk, Pastor? Faith. When you spend time with Jesus in His presence, faith is fortified. God is glorified, but faith is fortified. Isaiah 26 and 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee because he trusts in you. When you make time and you take time to have that quiet time with the Lord, there will be a peace like a river that floods into your soul. Your faith will be fortified, and a peace that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus the Lord. And your faith will be strengthened, it will be fortified, and you will get ready for whatever challenge you're going to face, because we're in spiritual warfare. The enemy is fighting, but how many of you know he said, fight the good fight of faith and lay hold of eternal life to which you have been called. By the way, you know why this is a good fight? He said, fight the good fight of faith. You know why it's a good fight? Because we win. You win. I don't know about you, but I read the back of the book. Maybe you need to take some time to read it for yourself. That old devil's going to be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, and there he will be tormented day and night forever, where the beast and the false prophet are. Somebody help me give God praise. Hallelujah. There will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more attacks. There will be no more disease. There will be no more cancer. There will be no more death. Oh, glory to God. It's worth fighting for, church. In the name of Jesus, it's worth pressing on for. I press toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Forget those things which are behind and pressing on towards those things which are before me. Keep the faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus. It's all going to be worth it, friend. Take some treasure from this walk. Hallelujah. God is glorified. Faith is fortified. And I like this. The soul, as Laura comes, the soul is satisfied. Hallelujah. Psalm 16 and 11 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. You will show me the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I'm telling you, he satisfies our souls. He fills our souls with goodness. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. In that quiet time, the path you should walk will be made plain. What is my goal, you say, as a born-again believer? What's my ultimate goal? Him. Him. Out of that relationship, everything else works out. I'm struggling in this, Pastor. I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm struggling on the job. I'm struggling with my kids. I'm struggling with... Have you been in the presence of the Lord? Have you relinquished it into His hands? Have you got into His presence? It's in that relationship where somehow and some way, listen to me, somehow in some way God comes through. Somehow in some way God works it out. He gives peace in the midst of the storm. He gives direction when you don't know which way to go next. He works out relationship issues. He has a way of doing it. When you just get into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You got to take some rewards, some treasures from this walk. And that's what I want to end on in Hebrews 11. The Bible says, he who comes to God must believe that he is. And if you know it, you can say it with me. And he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Did you get that? God wants to reward you. He wants to pour out his favor in your life. If you will diligently seek him, you'll take time in his presence and make a quiet time devotional life. How many of you will do that with me going forward in 2020? We're talking about first things first. Would you stand with me at this time? And I want you to meet me down in this altar this morning. If you would say with me, Pastor, I am dedicating myself to what you're talking about here today. First things first, putting God first in my quiet time. I'm going to do that. Whether I don't care how much, what the time frame is, that's not what I'm asking you. Will you put God first? First in quiet time with me. Hallelujah. As a church, come on, meet me in this altar if you will. Come in as close as you can. Make room for those coming behind you. Hallelujah. We're just going to dedicate ourselves.